Right now on PMP Network is Neil Hopkins. You know him, you love him, as one of the characters on Lost. He plays Liam, the heroin-addicted rock star brother of Charlie. So if you're a Lost fan, you'll know who this guy is. And welcome to the program, Neil.
Hey, thanks. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Now, you were on the show years ago, right? You've been on a few episodes, correct?
Yeah, I was in the first three seasons, and then I came back in the sixth season, in the current season right now. So I was on it until my brother died at the end of the third season, and then a couple seasons I wasn't on it. So it's good to be back.
So that storyline was kind of lost.
Yeah.
Lost.
It was. Dom was leaving the show for his own reasons, and so at first I was a little bummed, but then at the same time I was like, yeah, it's Lost. Anything can happen, you know?
So is the dead guy coming back?
Well, I mean, he's come back. He's been in a couple episodes since then, and he was in the episode LAX at the beginning of the sixth season, and then he was just in this episode Happily Ever After a few weeks ago.
So am I assuming these are in flashbacks?
These are flash sideways.
Uh-huh.
This season, the sixth season, they're doing flash sideways, which is like an alternate universe. So the characters are the same. They're kind of the same, and they're kind of different. So it's really interesting. It's kind of, it's getting really sci-fi this season.
Yeah, I have to admit, I've never seen the show. So I have to say it up front. I've heard great things about it, but unfortunately, I don't have time to watch television. So
I hear that from a lot of people.
Yeah,
it's the kind of show that's really good to rent on DVD, so you don't have to sit through commercials. You can just watch the entire thing.
Yeah, well, that's probably what I'll end up doing, because Matthew Fox has been on this show a few times from years ago.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of like to give him a little bit of support.
Yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't sound like you guys need that much support. You guys, the show's done incredibly well.
It has. It's been just an international phenomenon, so it's been great.
So tell us a little bit about you. Where you from, and how did you get into show business in the first place?
Well, I was born in New Jersey and moved around a lot when I was a kid. I did most of my growing up in Colorado, and in high school there, that's when I did my first play. I just kind of, got bit by the acting bug, as they say, and I realized that this is something I really wanted to do, and so I pursued it throughout college, and then I went to graduate school in San Francisco at American Conservatory Theater, and I graduated from there. It was a three-year MFA program, Master in Fine Arts program, mm-hmm. in theater, and it was just the best 3 years of my life, and it was a time when I could really, really focus on nothing but acting, which is what I ever really wanted to do. So it was fantastic, and then after 2002, moved down to L.A., and I've been here ever since. So I got an agent and been with the same agent for almost 8 years now.
Wait, what was your first paid role?
My first paid role in television was on a show called Birds of Prey, which I don't know if you ever heard of that, but it was a show that was sort of a spin-off of the Batman franchise. It was about some distant or some love child of Batman and Catwoman, and it didn't last very long. It was kind of a silly show, but it was a lot of fun. I played this hitman called the Specialist who could walk through walls. So it was a lot of fun, and funny enough, the director who ended up directing that episode, just kind of randomly as a favor to a friend, this guy Sean Levy is the director, big time director now, who had directed Date Night. He's directed the Cheaper by the Dozen movies. He's done a lot of the Pink Panther movies. He's just become huge. So it was funny, even though I was on a show that wasn't very big, I just so happened to work with a director who's gone on to do just huge things.
So I'm looking through your resume here and your background. It's you got some interesting things here. But one of the things that people keep talking about is that you're best known for your you're known for your Christopher Walken impression.
Yeah. Yeah, I did a short in the second role I did when I moved to L.A. was this short film called Walk and Talk, which is about a guy who was so obsessed with Christopher Walken that he developed sort of a psychosis where he could only talk to people as Christopher Walken using only lines from his movies and or television appearances. So the entire short film is about 10 minutes long, and you can check it out online, is just myself trying to communicate to my brother and his fiance, but I can only use these words from you know, these lines from his movies. So it's a pretty funny concept.
And but you won a Best Performance Award, actually, at the Edward Film Festival that in 2007.
Yeah. It got a lot of play at the film festival. It did really well. It was very popular. And then it led to my role in My Big Fat Independent Movie, which was a few years ago. It was the same director, Phil Zlotarinsky, and that was sort of like a scary movie spoof of independent films. Mm-hmm. And I played this character called the Lanky Man, who was sort of a more ridiculous version of Christopher Walken. So I had, you know, just one scene in that film, but I got some great reviews. I got a good review in the New York Times, which was really cool, and the Hollywood Reporter, and so it was exciting because not too many people saw that movie, but I was excited that, you know, I got a little bit of attention for my Walken impression, so that was cool.
Well, I couldn't let you go without asking you to do a little bit of it for me.
Well, I guess I should have seen that one coming, right?
Mm.
So, anyways, two mice, they fall into a bowl of cream. First mouse drowns. The second mouse, he keeps spinning till he spins that cream right into butter. There it is.
There you go. It's the breathing. It's the pace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a combination of things. It's pretty easy to do, you know, a lot of people. It's pretty funny. It's one of those, you know, impressions that everybody seems to have one. And it's something that, I don't know, a lot of them are kind of too over the top, I feel. But they're all kind of funny. It's just, it's amazing how this guy's inspired so many people doing impressions of him, like nobody else ever has.
Mm.
So,
now, are you also a writer as well?
I am, yeah. I've done some writing, and I wrote a pilot a couple years ago called Hit Factor. I co-wrote it with my writing partner, Jamie Rosenblatt, and we actually ended up trying to get it out there for a while, but we didn't have an agent, and so we said, you know what, let's raise some money and let's shoot like a 22-minute version of it and see what we can do with that. And I was able to get James Cromwell, you know, an Academy Award-nominated actor for Babe, and he's been in just countless things.
Mm-hmm.
He played George W. Bush Sr. in W.
Yeah.
George H.W. Bush.
Yeah.
And he was in it, and he was an executive producer on it, and we shot it. We did it all independent. We shot it ourselves, and we entered it in some television festivals because we figured it would be easier, since no one would read our script, it would be a lot easier to get people interested in the project if we had something to show them, because it's easier to watch than to read. So we did that, and we won a few awards. We won a New York Television Festival. We won the Best Drama, and then we won Best Writing and Best Ensemble Acting at the Independent Television Festival. And right now, we're finalists in this ION Television Festival in conjunction with the New York Television Festival. So we're going to find out if we win that in the next couple of months. I guess ION Television will produce the pilot that you wrote, which is pretty cool. So we'll see what happens. We're still trying to get some legs on it.
It's very cool, though. I mean, that's really the key to everything. If you can write, and then you can kind of write stuff for yourself to do, you can actually kind of fashion your own career.
And that was the idea. I mean, that's always what I've wanted to do with my career. I never wanted to be one of those actors that just waited around for the next job, because you could die waiting. A lot of people wait, and they end up quitting when they're 40 or whatever. And I just never wanted to do that. And so we basically said, you know, let's just write something for ourselves. And that's how it all began. And I still do little projects all the time. I'd make a lot of short films for YouTube and stuff, just to keep busy. I do directing and I edit, and you know, it's fun. Making it on that micro level with just a video camera is one of the funnest things to me, because there's not a bunch of people telling you what to do. You get to just see it through from beginning to end.
Mm. Now, you also just finished a movie called Skyline. Tell me about that.
Yeah, Skyline is a thriller, kind of sci-fi thriller. It's kind of genre bending, I guess. It's also kind of in the horror genre. But it's directed by the Strauss brothers, Colin and Greg Strauss. They did Alien vs. Predator 2. They've done tons of music videos, and they're best known, perhaps, for being these special effects wizards. They did special effects on just about any special effects movie you can imagine, from, you know, Avatar to Benjamin Button. They own two special effects houses. So what they've done with this film is they made a pretty low-budget film, but the special effects are going to be on par with a $200, $300 million movie. So it's going to look amazing. It's going to look like a lot of money was spent, when in reality they shot it pretty low-budget.
When is it coming out?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's coming out in 2010 or 2011, but you know, it's probably going to take a while for them to finish all the effects. But It's going to be sometime, you know, in the next 12 months, I would imagine.
What did your What was your character like?
I played this really goofy character, this guy Ray, who's like at the a lot of the film takes place at this party in this apartment building. The director's actually shot in their own apartment, which is pretty funny. And I play this guy who's just constantly, you know, trying to hook up with women, and he's kind of a scumbag. And like a lot of the characters in the film, it meets his demise.
Hmm.
So,
is it fun playing scumbags rather than good guys?
I mean, it just depends on the writing. It depends on how, if the writing is funny, and if it gives you something to do that's not just sort of one-dimensional, or if it allows you to show off a part of yourself that you maybe haven't done yet, then it's fun. Oftentimes, bad guys are more fun to play than good guys, but not always. Not always.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I actually caught you on Nip Tuck, which is one of my favorite shows.
Oh, cool.
Which I've seen on video. That's where I usually get to see it. But you played the long-lost brother of Dylan Walsh's character, Dr. McNamara.
Yeah. That was a really cool role. It's very rare that roles that good come along. It's a testament to that show that they actually write something that has that much depth to it for one episode. But I was hoping they were going to bring me back, but then the show ended up getting canceled, so it didn't happen.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun. I got to, you know, played a meth head, and I got to have, you know, the famous Nip Tuck sort of gore makeup on, which was a lot of fun, and rotten teeth and everything like that. And then I had a before and after my surgery, so yeah, it was really cool.
Well, that character definitely had potential to come back again.
I thought he would. I was hoping he would, but they were going a, you know, different direction with the show, and he was the creator of the show was much more interested in, you know, at that time putting his energy into Glee, which he also created, the new show Glee, which is another phenomenon.
Exactly.
And so I felt like it kind of just ran its course. So like Lost, I think it's only gone 6 seasons, or maybe they did another season. But, yeah, I was a little disappointed, but you just can't ever expect. That's the thing you learn in this business. You can't expect things to recur or come back because they almost never do. I never expected my character on Lost to come back, and, you know, I've come back several times, so it's all a bonus.
Now, when you've done a lot of guest starring on roles with, like, My Name is Earl and The Ghost Whisperer, CSI in New York, Criminal Minds, a bunch of different shows, but you also have had recurring roles on shows like Lost and Big Love, and Crash.
Yeah.
What's the difference in terms of working on the set with people that you kind of know, or working on the set with people you may not have met?
Well, it's tricky. You know, one of the hard parts about guest stars, and I oftentimes would argue that it's harder to be a guest star on a show than it is to be a regular, because when you're a regular, you got the home court advantage. You know everybody, you know the crew, you know the cast, you're comfortable, which is, you know, a lot of being a good actor on camera is just being comfortable. So as a guest star, you got to come in, you don't know anybody. You got to meet everybody, you got to meet hair and makeup, you got to meet the assistant directors, you got to meet the director, you got to meet the camera crew, the other actors. Sometimes they're nice, sometimes they're not so nice. I've been very lucky and worked with almost all really nice actors. But it makes it a lot more challenging. So when you can get a role that's a recurring role, it at least gives you a little bit more comfort next time you come back. You know, you're not just completely starting from zero every time and having to re-meet every single person.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it always helps to be, the more comfortable you can be on set, depending on the role. Now, there are certain roles where it would probably help you to feel a lot of discomfort and alienation, you know. But that's the role of a guest star is, you know, you come in, you do your work, and before you've even really gotten comfortable or met everybody, you're gone. So it's a little unfulfilling, so it's always good to get those recurring roles and get to, you know, come back.
So we mentioned your artistic talent as an actor and as a writer. I also understand you are actually a painter as well.
Yeah, I do painting, and I do a lot of portraits with colored pencil. I use different mediums, a lot of drawings. I'm not as good of a painter as I am a drawer, but I also, you know, my drawings with colored pencil kind of look like paintings when I'm done with them because I do a lot of blending. But, I had a show in Venice in November that went really well, and a collection of my portraits are on display at this steakhouse in Beverly Hills.
Wolfgang's.
Wolfgang's, yeah. Yep. It's not Wolfgang Puck. Everybody thinks that. It's a really nice restaurant. Wolfgang's, the chef is named Wolfgang's Wiener. So
his name's Wolfgang's Wiener.
Wolfgang Zwiener.
Okay.
His last name is Zwiener. It's kind of an unfortunate combination of names.
Yeah.
But it's a chain. They have one in Honolulu. They have one in Chicago. They have one in New York. They're really nice steakhouses.
So are they going to take your art and put it around the country and the other ones too?
I don't know if they're going to do that. It's kind of a restaurant by restaurant thing. They usually commission art from galleries, but this woman who was the manager there saw my work and she said, "This is great. You know, we want to put this up on our walls." So I've gotten some interest from having it out there, and I've been, you know, commissioned to do some other portraits. So it's cool. I'm starting to get a little bit of momentum with that, which is something that I'm able to do in my free time. And, you know, you talk to a lot of actors, you probably know actors mm-hmm. have more free time than they wish they would have.
Well, you have too much free time or not enough.
Yeah, exactly. You're either completely booked wall to wall or you know, are going crazy, having too much downtime.
Mm.
Just depending on the year and the industry and what show you're on, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned writing and you've written some television programs and some pilots and things like that. What about like a novel or something like that? I assume you have something inside you that's ready to come out.
I haven't ever really thought about doing a novel. I work better as a writer when I work with another partner, a writing partner, just because I'm good at certain things in writing. I'm a really good idea generator, and I'm a really good polisher of scripts. I'm not great about, because I'm so self-critical, I'm not great about just getting everything out. And writing a novel definitely requires just getting everything out and then honing it. So I work much better in tandem with somebody else who can sort of complement what I do best. And I've never really thought about a novel. You know, maybe one day, maybe if my life is interesting enough, I'll write my memoirs. But the idea of writing a novel is very scary and intimidating to me. I just don't know how people do it. And I especially don't know how people do one right after the other. You know, those famous authors who just crank out novels, you know, like John Grisham and Robert
Stephen
Ludlum,
King's another one, yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. I don't know how they do it either. I've written a couple of books myself, and I don't know how you keep doing it every year, because eventually you just...
How many books have you written?
I've written a couple of books.
Wow.
And but, you know, after a while, the well gets dry.
Yeah, I would imagine.
So I don't know how people do it, but especially
if you're
doing other things.
Writing on the same theme over and over again, it just amazes me that they're able to come up with fresh ideas.
Yeah, and if you're an actor and you're doing other things too, then your creative juices are getting spread, and it's kind of tough to stick to one thing like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a topic that I could think of to write on that would, you know, fill up 200, 300 pages. It's just, I can't think of it, but, you know, you never know. That could change.
Now, are you married or happy, Neil?
I'm married and happy.
Oh, okay. So you got married about 3 years ago?
Yeah. We're going to be celebrating our third anniversary at the end of May, and we have our first child on the way in September.
So ooh, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's wonderful.
It is.
Yeah, and you're having a birthday in a couple weeks yourself, actually.
I do, yeah. I'll be turning an old 33.
Yeah, really old, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
What
does that make me?
As I get into my 30s, I try to remind myself that I'll never be this young again.
Exactly. Believe me, enjoy it. I'm in my 50s, so, you know.
Yeah.
Embrace the 30s, believe me.
Well, 50 is the new 30.
That's what they say when you're 50.
Yeah, exactly. They say it when you're 60, too.
But anyway, well, you can see Neil Hopkins in Lost, but can you tell us when you're going to be on?
I can't. All I can say is that I will be on before the end of the season. That's all I can say. I have to be very vague. I apologize for that, but that's the nature of the sixth and final season, is they're keeping a very tight lid on it.
That's understandable.
Yeah.
And again, you can see Neil in Lost on ABC Network, I believe it's on.
Yeah, it's on ABC on Tuesdays at 9, I believe.
Tuesdays at 9. So we'll watch out for Neil and his character Liam, the heroin-addicted rock star brother of Charlie. And thanks so much for coming on the program, and look forward to talking to you in the future about something new.
Absolutely, and thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.